So the first part of this practice is to study this image before us, which is the Sufi symbol of the heart and wings. And the first part of the meditation is done with eyes open, and the next steps of the meditation are done with the eyes closed. So in the first step, we deeply observe, and Murchard also talks about the significance of observing correctly a situation or an impulse. I mean, it's interesting that he would say that, to observe it correctly, because so much misinterpretation can happen. And it's good to, if one can clarify as much as one can for oneself. So here we observe this heart, this deep feeling heart. Murshid's saying that that is such an amazing aspect of the path, is to be able to feel deeply. And this isn't, oh, I feel love, I feel hate, I feel anxiety, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm glad. This is deep, subtle vibrations, feeling those. This isn't personal. This is transpersonal, it's universal. So here we have the heart. And residing in that heart is this crescent moon. The crescent moon is that part of our being that is reflective, that is able to be empty, that is able to absorb something. And above that resides the shining, radiant star, the star of the divine light. And if you think about it, the star isn't the sun. The star is also reflecting something back. It may be inherently have its own quality of light, but where is that coming from? From this divine source, or in our solar system, the sun. But here, this is the source of the divine light shining in thy heart. And then this rendition, I think, is very beautiful in that we have just this little teeny, you see the little baby wing coming out? But from that completely unfolds these beautiful wings. The wings representing breath, prana, that that gives life, that sustains our life, breath. And Murshid really gives great care to describe these wings, that these are things that raise us from the denseness of the earth, by giving us indifference. Not indifference, this is not a non-feeling indifference. This is a kind of indifference that doesn't say, like the sun. The sun gives life and light to all. It doesn't say, I like you, therefore I shine on you, and I don't like you, therefore I don't give you my rays of light. The light shines with great equanimity, and so indifference allows us to be not so personally catalyzed by circumstances, to have a more subtle or remote perspective, an indifference. So it's not as if it's a non-feeling thing at all. It's deeply feeling, but not personally motivated. That's indifference. And the other wing represents independence. You know, Murshid gives great emphasis to, one can't say this is good, this is bad, this is nice, this is not nice. It's moving all the time. Things are conditional. Things arise, they fall. These things are, but when we're independent, we are beyond the confines of circumstances and conditions. We're absolutely free. I like to say free oneself from all convention. Free oneself from all convention. So in this one symbol, we have many, many things that are being communicated to us. But here we're also concentrating on the visual form and the essence of what's being conveyed through that visual form. And I would like to say of this heart and wings, this is a very good rendition of Murshid's impulse for that symbol. We see that symbol rendered in many different ways, and that's also very good because that's a imagination and love and devotion. But at his dharga, this is the portion and articulation of the heart and wings, and in the you see the pendant, or sometimes we see it hanging on his beads in pictures. Murshid himself went to a jeweler and had that designed to his liking, and that he had a similar one of the same proportion and design, but a little bit smaller design for his wife, Rani Amina Begum. And so this was the original impulse. But as I said, that is not meant to say that the other impulses that have come since are not also beautiful and meaningful. But this was the manner in which Murshid visualized this symbol and gave it to us. And if you can now, we're going to ask that you close your eyes and see if you're in the mirror of your heart and mind. And again, if you don't see this thing, it's not like it's going to pop up like on a screen. It may be a deep feeling that you have about the symbol. But if you have the capacity to imagine it, see if you can see it in your inner vision, and you may try to imagine, if you're just seeing a field of darkness, that you pick up a piece of chalk that's light, and you start to draw this image. You've seen it. You can even open your eyes and look back at it, and just imagine that you're drawing in that field this image of first the heart and the crescent moon and the star and the wings with all the feathers. And there is no right or wrong here. If you can't see that image, that's absolutely okay. The point is concentrate your mind on a point. If you're just seeing a field of blackness, no matter. Concentrate your mind in a detailed point within that. You don't have to have this image. I don't want to make people think there is only one way to do something. The whole point is to concentrate your mind. then if you're able to visualize the heart and wings, see if you can start to play with it a little bit, to think about it becoming dimensional. And as I did yesterday, I'll start you off and then I'll let you go on your own. Maybe we visualize this heart as like a heart of gold. And maybe for you that's a metal color, or maybe it's a beautiful amber light that is making up the heart. You know, just see it as it, but visualize this Sufi gold color, which again was another impulse that Murshid gave. This gold. You know, Sufi traditions, if you go to the East, you see, are all, their color is the color of Islam, that green color. But not this message. This is a new impulse of wisdom, Safiya, gold. The symbol of transformation, of transforming the dross into pure gold. And so this gold heart with this luminous crescent moon, perhaps possessive of a kind of iridescent quality that then absorbs the light, the divine light shining in that star, radiating through the heart, and the light radiates through the wings. You may see even hints of gold, like when light shines through a stained glass window, you see the dancing of light in the atmosphere. Everything's shimmering. And if you can't see the heart and wings, no matter, just notice a pinpoint of light. You can imagine like a pinpoint of light coming through the tree, the leaves of the trees. We've all seen that. And you're seeing the dancing of light and color in it. Again, the image is not so significant, but to concentrate the mind. For a few more moments, while imagining this heart and wings or this light, whatever it is, be creative with it. You may see it changing colors or changing shapes, or what happens if it rotates in space? What does it look like from behind? Is it the same? What if it moves away from you and moves towards you? Let the mind be agile and free with the image. We sometimes become fixated on an idea, and here's the idea of becoming unfixated, letting creativity, imagination take place. And now see this heart and wings, or whatever, again, if it's a point of light, let that come into your heart. And it may be residing at your chest, but allow the rays of light to flow down through your entire body, the wings to span through the physical body, and imagine that your arms are the extension of those wings. and that the light from this star is rising and filling your being and also shining down through your entire being. Isn't it amazing that when we stand with arms and feet apart, we become that five-pointed star? And then while that image is there residing in your heart, you know, like little pieces of DNA or fractals, you can allow little hearts and wings to emerge from that and fly wherever you want to offer this blessing of this beautiful symbol. It can fly to your children and to your partners and to your parents, whether they're alive or not, your ancestors, the sky people, the environment, the creatures that are needing to be cared for from the oil spill, people at this camp. Let the wings envelop them and touch them. Let the symbol that came from the consciousness of our Hero Murshid Hazrat Anai Khan just envelop all in a blessing of divine light and love. All the elementals around us, let them be blessed and enlivened and touched and come into harmony and balance. Everything fluttering with life. Concentrate as hard as you can with as many rays coming from this divine light outward. All at the end of them, each ray is concluded with a beautiful heart and wings in every direction, 360 degrees, that stretch breath that has great influence and inspiration and success and accomplishment. That all beings may be benefited, that are touched from the past, the present, and the future, that this vibration comes from beginningless time and goes into endless, unceasing time and space. Now I'm going to give these instructions first, so keep concentrating in this way if you will. But I'm going to ask you, not at this moment, let me give the instructions first, keep the concentration. I'm going to ask that then you imagine at the ends of all those rays, the little heart and wings all dissolving into infinite more heart and wings, but just the essence of them. And so they dissolve. And then you see each ray dissolving as it returns back to the heart and wings at the center of your heart. And then in that moment, I'm going to snap my fingers and everything's going to just dissolve. And you're going to relax. So we're going to begin now. All those heart and wings at the ends of those infinite rays of light are just dissolving and offering their rhythmic vibration. And the rays of light start to return back, dissolving back into this heart and wings, the crescent and the star at your own heart. And you let that image now dissolve into your entire being. And if you have the courage, imagine that your entire being is dissolving. relax. And just be in the breath for a few moments. Barak, do you have some liquid refreshment, cool refreshment over there for us? Thank you. And let's do all wait until everyone has their water and then we can drink it together. That Murshid also gives to us is whenever we've been given a wazifa or a practice, he talks about before dinner or partaking of food or drink to say it into that food or that drink so that when you bring it in, you're bringing in the vibration. So make a prayer over this elixir of life. Make a prayer. We're coming to the conclusion of this camp. What is your prayer? To take with you and to offer. Make a prayer. Carnisa, there's Carnisa. Water here. Come on. You can come here. The room. So one of the things that we're doing is, before we partake of this water together, we're just reflecting for a few moments on the fact that we're coming to a conclusion of this camp, and just to be mindful of that. And on Murshid's instructions, he tells us to offer our wazifas and our prayers that we've been given into our food before we eat it, or into liquid before we drink it, and it'll bring it into our circulatory system for our nourishment and sustenance, and so we can do that over this water and bless it and offer a prayer into it for that which we hope to absorb and bring back into the world as we leave this retreat time together. Popping open a bottle of champagne. We can snap that open and drink to the beloved. Cheers, everyone. Good health. Good travels. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. May I ask, are there any questions or comments about the practice? And before I let you answer, this is what a good teacher does, but they say something before they let you answer. I do want to say, because I meant to say it earlier, so I want to be sure to share this with you. Anything can become an object of this. So for example, we were talking earlier, some of us met spontaneously. For example, a pitcher of water could be visualized on the table, and we could do this in a group, you know, and that pitcher of water can represent clarity and purity, you know, or a candle can represent illumination, you know, or a musical instrument can represent divine sound. So a rosary can represent our practice, our offerings, our prayers. But the point is to visualize it. Excuse me. The point is to concentrate on the object with eyes open, with eyes closed. Second part is to visualize or imagine it inwardly. The third step is constructive, so observation, step number one. Concentration, step number two. Creative concentration, where you then start to view that object in different colors, different angles, rotating, etc. Creative concentration. Then projective concentration, where you see that object moving to other places or going in a blessing to other beings. And then the next part is to deconstruct it, so to erase it from the mind. And again, the application is we then start to learn and train the mind to become agile. You know these people that become very fixed in their thinking. We don't want to be that way. We want to be fluid and graceful. And so we can offer that fluidity, because sometimes rigidity of another, then we get rigid around that too. So, but we can offer another vibration, an alternative vibration into the atmosphere. And so to be able to construct these things, and also when we want to deconstruct an impression, a hurt, a worry, an anxiety, to be able to do that through this practice, then we can apply it there, you see? First, you're observing the image. Oh, with that in that regard.
No.
The point is that by learning how to deconstruct something, we can also do that with whatever this is. Now we're talking at a very subtle level, because really, I would recommend, if you haven't, or even if you have, to reread Major Murshid's teachings on the mysticism of sound. And he talks about everything as having a kind of rhythm or vibration. So in a way, it's kind of getting in touch with the vibration, encountering it, deconstructing it. I talked about the lines in the mind and the winds of sand, which has to do with that practice. Yagafar, Yagafor, Afu is where I've done it with just three, but what is it?
Tawa.
Tawa, okay. And that's like the winds coming through and removing all traces of tracks. And it can be done another way. I mean, you can, Mersha gave, do you think you could remember a number for 20 minutes? I'm going to pass this around because this will highlight without me having to tell you what I'm about to tell you. Pass it around. Murshid used to give the practices to his students mostly in English. And we have those now compiled. They aren't commonly circulated, but I have a copy, and I'm happy to share it if only I could find it. So you may ask for a practice from Murshid right now. And just open this up, and don't worry about what it says and having to copy it down. Just remember the number. I'll have the paper later. You can get the saying to write it down. Okay? Maybe Nurse Lena, can you hold on to this while I'm having interviews and you can let people, thank you so much. So, shall we do that? Are you ready? Do you want it?
Yeah.
Good. So this is coming from our Murshid, Hazrat Inayat Khan. He's offering us his advice and counsel. And if you would like to read it, it's a beautiful thing to share because then we all benefit from these sayings. And he wrote these in his own notebook when he gave them to his students. So these are from directly from his hand and his heart and his mind. So just don't search, just open it and trust. And if you don't want to read it, it's also okay. Yeah. Aloud.
Real loud.
Let thy divine blessing flow through any heart to all thy people in the world.
Can you remember the number? And the what?
And around me.
God's blessing is in me and around me. Wait, we have to go back. You remember the number, yeah?
I'm writing it down.
My mind is at rest, my body is healed, and my soul is illuminated by the grace of God.
Awaken in my heart thy divine love, Lord, and illuminate my life.
fortify me, Lord, and strengthen my heart to make my way through life.
My love, my light, and light and life. Beautiful. Remember the number. What number is that?
259.
When we get it, we'll read it again.
Witness, Lord, my pleasure.
We can read it for you, honey, if you just want to.
Bless, Lord, my life every day and in every way.
Bless me, inspire me, and draw me closer to thy divine being.
So I want to read 259 because I didn't hear it, and maybe you didn't either. Free me, Lord, from all undesirable influences, and keep me safe under your divine wings. Bless me with all that my life needs and my soul longs for. More planned, but you know, it's time to go, but we can sing a little bit. The Zikr of Anayakon. Oh, and I want to tell you, I know some of you know this, but it bears repeating that this Zikr is based on a raga that's a very special raga. In India, the Bivaram Raga. And this, if you know anything about ragas, you know that some ragas are only sung in the spring or summer or winter, or some are only sung in the morning or in the evening or in the afternoon. But this raga is a universal raga. It can be sung anytime, any season. It is like the Sufi message, universal. And this is why Murshid has picked this raga for his song. And the words that he has given us come from the Persian articulation, la el, la el, ala, el alahu, la elaha, excuse me, la elaha, el alahu, no il, el, el, no el il either, la elaha, el alahu. Very important vibration, carries with it something very different than with the il.
Oh.
So until we meet again, keep yourself tuned up, humming along. You might want to keep these bottles out of the sun and take them with you. Remember your prayers in there. Keep putting extra water in there and drinking from it until we meet again. You can even bless yourself. Use it to help with holy water now. Yes, that's right.